Ministry lives where lesbians belong all the time. It's where we go to meet those who came before us, and it's where we'll be remembered after we're gone.
This is one of the things the larger society fears from us the most, that we can pass on our sense of how life can be different. And the archives allows this intergenerational conversation to go on that we've never had. Because it isn't that my past is any more important than somebody's present, but to be a community with a kind of insightful politic and a sense of history, you need these generational discussions. And in fact, one of the ways we have been oppressed is by being cut off from our own memories. Our official name is the Lesbian Herstory Educational Foundation. One thing I've learned from being at the archives and seeing young women come from small towns, not just of this country, but of other countries, is that being a lesbian is not a monolithic experience. It's still what we would call the 50s, meaning the closetedness, the sense of deprivation of freedoms. Police came regularly into our gay bars, right? And when I was active on freedom rides, and we go and integrate or try to integrate restaurants in Maryland, and the police would come in, at one point I realized they were all the same police. And they were policing populations of difference. We were considered sexual deviants. This was all part of city policy. And sexual deviancy, because it couldn't control, sexual deviants can't control their sexual behavior. And of course, where will they do it? In the bathroom. And there was this whole thing that we would rape a woman in the bathroom, or there would be a sexual scene in the bathroom. It doesn't make sense. It just, in other words, for the bar to survive on paper, it had to be carrying out certain city regulations. And we were an illegal population. So one of the things was that there would be no sexual activity on the premises, and one of the ways to ensure that was to only allow one lesbian into the bathroom at a time. Now it became ritualized in this one bar into this thing called the bathroom line, and then that ritual became a symbol of our oppressions. Was a back room where we would dance. Remember, that was a crime. And so when the police were coming to get their payoff, as they did every Friday and Saturday night, before they got to the bar, there was a call from the precinct, and there was this little naked red light, and the red light would go on, and we would all sit at our tables. Sometimes it was, you know, innocuous, but sometimes if you had a captain or somebody who was there who was really angered, particularly at the butch femme women, when there was a very, let's say, attractive femme woman with a very butch woman. And what would happen, and they'd count their money right in front of us, and then he'd point to this butch woman. He'd say, "Hey, you think you're a man? I'll take you outside." And this one, we'd all know what would happen. And this, sometimes there would be fights before, but this woman would be hauled outside. She would be stripped. Things like the cop would put his hands in her pants and say, "You think you're a man? Let's see what you have." All done to humiliate her. I remember holding on to my lover's pant, you know, the buckle of her pants, so she wouldn't engage the police, because we never won. You know. But everything I've done in the lesbian, gay, and progressive community, and even in my teaching, has been with the memory of that bathroom line and the women who didn't survive into the 70s. You know, this place for me is filled with ghosts. It's important that we be remembered for what we gave this country, for what we fight this country to be a better country, for the history of desire, which is a very complex and profound history that no government is comfortable with any place in the world. Oh.